Well, I want to thank you kids for coming here today, ladies and gentlemen. That's not the front row, though, just in case you was. When Jonathan called me, he indicated that he had about 30 kids that might be coming. Yeah, so I was I was laying awake last night wondering how I was going to deliver a message to 30 kids, and I realized I couldn't. And so I said, "Lord, I can't do it. Get someone else." And he says, "No, you'll be good." So how many here have actually read through the book of Hebrews? Is your hand up? Don't be shy. One, two, three of you, and these folks, and these folks, and of course those folks. Come on, you haven't read the book of Hebrews?
I've read the book, but I haven't
read
through it.
Oh, wow. I got them. Well, I've been preaching through the book of Hebrews, and you can ask these folks. It's really interesting, right? So I could finish up today, but the Lord said no. He said, "I want you to go somewhere else." So I'll ask the question, how many have read Psalm 23? The 23rd Psalm. Well, I got some more hands over here too. That's good. Thank you. It's really a really good psalm. And I'm going to share a little bit about it today. The sad part about that psalm, most of the time when you hear it read, it's at a funeral. You ever notice that? Somebody's died and they're reading Psalm 23. And that's good because it is a comforting psalm. But it's comforting every day of your life throughout the whole year. Let's go to it. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you notice? If you're looking, if you need a Bible, there's a Bible in the chair underneath in front of you. And you can look at the words, and you'll see that the word Lord, it's all capital letters. It's not capital L and then small O-R-D. It's all capital letters. That's because it's referring to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the God that made the covenant with them. And throughout the psalm, we're going to see God's name in a two-syllable word, and I'll point it out when we get to them. David, who wrote this psalm, thought a lot about God. He pondered his relationship with God. And that's what we should do every day. Ponder our relationship with God. First, do I have one? If you don't have a relationship with God yet, then see me after. Because you must. God was like a shepherd to David. And David was like a sheep to God. Now, I know Josiah and Clara and Emily know all about sheep and goats and stuff like that. So when we read this psalm, take the place of David as if you are writing it. And you become the sheep when you read this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. How about if I say the Lord is my shepherd? Now the gist of this line is, God's not just a shepherd in a theological sense. He's real. He's personal. He's your shepherd. If there was only one person left on the face of the earth, God would be your shepherd. There's no if God was my shepherd. There's no, I hope God is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, that's so sweet. It doesn't say that he leads a multitude of flock. It says he's my shepherd. He leads me. No one else. He leads me. He's a shepherd to me. He cares for me. He watches out over me. He preserves me. Now that alone should give us comfort and security right there. Almighty God of the universe, all-powerful, who created all this and us, cares for me. I shall not want. That reflects God's name. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, comes from Genesis 22. The psalm is telling us that Jesus, my Lord, is able. He is more than able to provide every single need that I have. Not my pleasures, not my wants, my needs. The sheep have needs. They need water. They need rest. They need a shepherd that's going to lead them. You see, sheep are dumb. Really, you ever see that picture? It's a famous painting. Big high cliff. And all the sheep, the white ones, are running toward the edge of the cliff and it falls off. And then you have one black sheep going back the other way. Excuse me? Excuse me? Well, sheep are so dumb, they just follow the one in front of them, even to their death. And so we need a shepherd. Or we're going to follow our buddy. Or we're going to follow our idol in sports right to our death. Don't do that. The shepherd knows where to lead us. And we follow our shepherd, we won't lack any necessities of life. In Matthew, Jesus tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things will be given to you. It's a matter of your priorities. If you seek a brand new car first, or if you seek a position in your job, or if you seek a relationship with your neighbor first, it's going to fail. Seek first God, and he will open the door to those other opportunities. The second verse says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. You see, I don't know how to rest. You can ask my wife. I do not know how to rest. I need a shepherd to make me lie down and rest. And sometimes he does that by a sickness. Sometimes he does that by, about with shingles. Anybody have shingles here before? Yeah, nice, isn't it? I couldn't walk for 3 months, 2 months. I could just sit in a chair, hobble to the bathroom when I had to. So he made me rest because I needed that. And while I rested, I had my Bible. And he said, learn of me, because I'm going to need you. Here I am. He knows what's best. We wouldn't stop working. If we work 6 days a week, then working seven's even better, right? No. And sheep don't lie down easy, if you know anything about sheep. They have to have four conditions met before they're going to lie down. They won't lie down if they're afraid, because they're very timid. They're very social. If there's any friction between each other, they don't lie down. If two people here have a relationship and all of a sudden there's friction between the two, that relationship's not too good, is it? And so he takes care of that. If they have flies or parasites all over them, they're not going to lay down. And finally, if they are anxious, and they can be anxious about food, maybe they're hungry, maybe they're fear, they're not going to lie down. But the shepherd comes in, and he deals with that. Kind of sounds a lot like us sometimes, doesn't it? How many people here sleep really good when they're anxious? They got this big test in the morning they didn't study for. They don't know the material. You sleep good that night? I don't think so. But if you take that, well, one, you've got to prepare, but give your life over to the Lord. And he's going to take that anxiousness away from you. He leads me beside the still water. Now that word lead, that's important. Because it means to lead gently. He doesn't throw a rope around the neck and drag the sheep. He leads gently. The sheep hear his voice and they follow him. Just as we listen to Christ's voice and we follow him and we obey him. We obey him because we know him and he knows us. Now, I have read about sheep over the other side of the Pacific Ocean where they have hundreds and thousands of herds of sheep. And you know they used to put them all in one sheepfold. The sheepfold was the area that had a high wall around it to keep the predators out. And two or three shepherds would all mix their sheep in there and they'd close the gate for the night. And in the morning, the shepherd would come by the gate and he'd call his sheep. Woo-hoo! Only his sheep would leave the sheepfold and follow him. Till the next shepherd came and called his sheep, and only his sheep would follow him. And if a stranger came, they wouldn't follow him. That's how we have to be. We have to know our shepherd. We have to know when it's his voice talking to us and the devil's voice talking to us. Or even our own voice. We can convince ourselves this is a good thing. It's not. If the Lord's not in it, it's not a good thing. The second name for God was Jehovah Shalom. Shalom, peace. The Lord is our peace. He restores my soul, verse 3. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Verse in Exodus 15. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. That means he makes us new again. Are you broken? Do you have a relationship that's broken right now, that's bothering you, that's hurting you, that you think the world is going to end now because that ended? The Lord heals. He'll restore you. He makes us new again. The idea is that he brings us back to the starting point. Because when he created us, we were perfect, and then we sinned and moved away from him. Takes us back and restores us to what we were. My first car was an old 55 Chevy. Rusted out. And I restored it. I put it back to new. That's what God does to every single one of us. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, because old things have passed away and all things have become new. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He's my guide. I don't know where to go. The shepherd is my guide. I don't know where the green pastures are. He does. I don't know where the still waters are. I go to a brook that used to be there. It's all dried up. But the shepherd knows where the fresh water is. So there's only one thing I need to know. I need to know where my shepherd is. And then I'm good. He will guide me. Paths. The paths of righteousness. Those are well-worn paths. Almost ruts. And when the sheep try to explore a new exciting path over here, and we do that so often, new and exciting. I've never been to that club before. There's a reason. Paths of righteousness is our fourth name for God. Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord, our righteousness. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Verse 4 is the middle of Psalm 23. And if you notice, the personal pronoun changes from he to you. David's not speaking about the shepherd anymore. He's speaking to the shepherd. Instead of talking about him, now he's talking to him face to face. And that's how it has to be with us. In our walk with Christ, in our Christian development, before we were saved, we heard all about this Savior. But after we were born again, now we speak directly to our Savior. Lord, help me. He is our personal Savior. We have an intimate relationship with Him. Now, you don't have to make up formal prayers. Just talk to Him. Like you talk to your dad at home. Or you talk to your brother or sister. Just talk. Tell Him what's in your heart. You know, I'm really hurting today, Lord. I've done some stuff that I'm ashamed of. How do I get rid of that, Lord? Help me. And this shadow of death, it's nothing to be afraid of. Oh, that's easy to say. Anybody here afraid of death? Don't raise your hand. In order to have a shadow, you need light. If there's no light shining, there's no shadow. Right? We have light. Jesus Christ. He conquered death. And so the only thing left of death now is a shadow. I am not afraid of a shadow. I know it can't hurt me. It's flat, laying there on the ground. Death is standing by the side of the road. It's on the side of the road that you have to travel. But the light of heaven is shining on that death, and it's casting a shadow across your path. The psalm says, don't be afraid. The shadow of a dog can't bite you. The shadow of a sword will never cut you. The shadow of death will never harm us. For you are with me, the psalmist says, which is our fifth name for God, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there, right there. He's right beside us. He's leading the way. He's calming all our fears. This valley of darkness represents any difficult experience of our life. It makes us afraid, even death. And throughout life, as we follow the shepherd, we're going to have many experiences. Some are going to be trying. None of them will take the Lord by surprise. He knows. So we can trust him and we can have peace. The closer we are to our shepherd, the safer we are. And then the more peace we have in our hearts. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. What a powerful phrase that is. Picture a magnificent banquet. You guys are having a breakfast coming up Saturday. Blow that up to a banquet. It's provided by a benevolent host that money is no object. He not only has the means to feed me, but he has the power to protect me. Even though I'm surrounded by my enemies. When a soldier is in the presence of his enemies, now I speak from experience, if he eats at all, he just grabs it and stuffs it in his face, and his eyes are still scanning everywhere. There's no relaxation. And he's right back in the battle. But look here. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies? Nothing's hurried. There's no confusion. The enemy is all there pounding on the door, and yet God has prepared a table for me to sit down and eat. And the Christian sits down and he eats. As if everything is perfect peace. There's no war going on. No matter who hates you, dislikes you, no matter who's out to ruin you, the Lord prepares a table for you. And he's the one that's guarding the door so that you can rest and you can have peace. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over, which is the last name for God in this. Jehovah Kirnash, the Lord who sanctifies. The anointing of the head with oil was a call to dedicated service to the Lord. Kings were anointed in service that way. David was anointed king of Israel. If you're anointed by the shepherd, you belong to him. Revelation 1, verse 5. Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and he has made us, you and me, kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, even though we belong to God, the Lord doesn't come along and remove every single danger from your life. He helps us to overcome them and not to be paralyzed by fear as we go through them. And then we have showers of blessings that will overflow our cup. And Scripture confirms this, does it not? Malachi 3:10. Now, most pastors use Malachi 3:10 to ask for more money because it talks about tithing. I want to look at the other end of that where it says, bring your tithes in the storehouse so that there's food in my house. And God says, try me in this. In other words, prove me. If I will not open for you the doors of heaven and pour out to you such blessings that you will not have enough room to receive it. Showers of blessing. You just got to stay under the shower head. Do you believe that? If God filled your cup, oh boy, another question. If God filled your cup to the proportion of your faith, how filled will your cup be? I won't ask for an answer. Psalm goes on, 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely here means only. Think of goodness and mercy as being guardian angels protecting our backside. And when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, we're told the Amalekites would attack the rear of the camp and kill the weak and the ones left behind struggling to keep up. Not so if you're a follower of the shepherd. You only have goodness and mercy following behind you. You don't have the Amalekites. As the shepherd lays each night at the door of the sheepfold, they used to sleep right there by the entrance to the sheepfold. He looked back over the day and he would give thanks to the Lord. The Lord had blessed him with goodness and mercy. As an old man, David looked back over his life and he came to the same conclusion. In spite of our sins, in spite of our failures, looking back, we've gone. Every one of us has been followed by goodness and mercy. Looking ahead, we know we're going to be in heaven. If you're a born-again believing Christian, you will be in heaven. You'll be in your Father's house forever. And so while I am here on this earth, I will be a child at home with my God. We sang a song this morning. Did we sing that? This is my Father's world. This isn't our world. This is my Father's world. This whole world is his house to me. And so when I ascend to the upper chamber, I'm not going to change my company. I'm not going to change the house. I only go dwell in the upper story of the house of the Lord forever. Lord, we would have nothing if it weren't for you, Lord. And so, continue to be our shepherd, Lord. Guide us. Show us where the green pastures are. the streams flowing with fresh water, the banquets of food and protection from the enemy that comes at us day in and day out relentlessly, we will have no fear. Not even if death itself is knocking on the door. And it's a lot closer to my door than yours. But I will not fear, because the Lord is with me. Lord, we pray a real strong blessing on this Mexico mission trip. And that in some way that little wonder can help out, show us. You provide the means, and we will pass it along. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Now there are snacks out here, and there's fresh fruit for those fruit-loving people. And if you don't know the Lord, come see me.